Good morning, everyone, all of our New Life Worship Center family, and also those that have been invited to watch along with us this morning. And maybe you've just happened to stumble onto this podcast, and we welcome all of you as well. And so we are continuing our series this morning on Heavenly Hope. This is part number 3. And again, if there was ever a time in our nation and in our world that we need hope, it's today, right? And so we're going to look at a story in Genesis chapter 45. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me, or your smartphone or whatever device you might be using. And let's go to Genesis 45, and we're going to begin at verse number 16. But just to kind of set the stage for this, this is the story of part of the life of Joseph. Towards the end of his story in Scripture, we know that he was sold into slavery by his brothers. He winds up in Egypt. He eventually winds up in prison in Egypt. Eventually, he becomes the second in command in the whole nation of Egypt, only under Pharaoh. The only one above him was Pharaoh as far as government official. And so he's finally, in this portion of Scripture, he's revealed himself to his brothers. And now then, news of this reaches Pharaoh's household as well. And so let's pick up at verse number 16. It says, when the news reached Pharaoh's palace that Joseph's brothers had come, Pharaoh and all of his officials were pleased. Pharaoh said to Joseph, tell your brothers, do this, load your animals and return to the land of Canaan, and bring your father and your families back to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you can enjoy the fat of the land. You are also directed to tell them, do this, take some carts from Egypt for your children and your wives, and get your father and come. Never mind about your belongings, because the best of all Egypt will be yours. I like those two phrases. You're going to enjoy the fat of the land, and the best of all Egypt is going to be yours. That's the kind of God that we serve. And so verse 21 says, so the sons of Israel did this. Joseph gave them carts, as Pharaoh had commanded, and he also gave them provisions for their journey. I love the fact that God not only supplies our needs, but he even grants us maybe some of the wants that we might have, and he also does exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. This is how he's taking care of Joseph's family as they prepare to come back to Egypt. And so then in verse 22, he says, to each of them, each of his brothers, he gave new clothing. But to Benjamin, he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 sets of clothing. All of his other brothers were half-brothers. Their moms were different from his and Benjamin's, so only he and Benjamin were full brothers and had the same mom. Interesting story there as well. Verse 23 says this, and this is what he sent to his father. So he not only blessed his brothers, all of them, but he also sent this to his father. 10 donkeys loaded with the best things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other provisions for his journey. Then he sent his brothers away, and as they were leaving, catch this, he said to them, don't quarrel on the way. You see, Joseph knew his brothers well, knew how there was a lot of kind of arguing and getting after each other like brothers will from time to time. And so he says, guys, look, don't quarrel on the way home. Keep it together, get home as quick as you can, and bring Dad and all of our families back. Verse 25, let's pick up. So they went up out of Egypt, and they came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. They told him, Joseph is still alive. In fact, he is ruler of all Egypt. Jacob, their father, was stunned. He did not believe them, because you see, all those years he thought that Joseph had been killed. He did not know that his son was still alive. And so they said, Joseph is still alive, and he's ruler of all Egypt. And this just really surprised their dad, stunned their dad, and he really initially didn't believe them. But catch this. But it says, but when they told him everything Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts, Joseph had sent back or sent to carry him back, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. I love this phrase. When he saw the carts, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. Let's keep that in our minds. We're going to get back to that a little bit later. Verse 28, and Israel, Jacob, said, I'm convinced my son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. So, question this morning, so what's this story all about? How does this have any connection to heavenly hope? Well, because this story is about hope. It's all about hope. It's about an elderly father, as I mentioned, who thought he had lost his favorite son. He thought he was dead, but he also thought that he had lost the heir. This son would have been the heir of all the covenants, the promises, and the blessings of God, only to find out that this son, who he thought was dead, is now alive, still alive and well, and now ruler in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. But here's the thing. When he saw the carts that Joseph had sent, his spirit revived. Hope was reborn in Jacob's heart and mind. Hope for the future of the entire Hebrew nation that was about to leave the land of Canaan and go to the land of Egypt for a season. Emil Brunner writes this, what oxygen is to the lungs, such is hope to the meaning of life. I want to say that again. He says, what oxygen is to the lungs, such is hope to the meaning of life. I love that quote. And then Eugene Peterson, love this. He adds this. He says, the way we conceive the future sculpts the present, gives contour and tone to nearly every action and thought through the day. So the way that we portray, the way that we picture the future in our minds is going to sculpt our present. Where has your mind gone recently in these days of so much uncertainty, maybe fear, worry, stress, all these things that we've experienced in the past couple of weeks here in our nation? It's how we conceive what is the future going to look like that will sculpt the present in which we live. Think about that. Peterson goes on. He says, if our sense of future is weak, then we're going to live listlessly. Much emotional and mental illness and most suicides occur among men and women who feel that they have no future, that they feel that they have no hope. Even the other day, our president was mentioning that he thought suicides might be on the increase because people are losing their sense of hope. People are being scared and fearful from all the news that we're being bombarded with. It's almost information overload, more than we can process, more than we can maybe handle at one time. And it's creating this sense of insecurity in people's lives and throughout the country. Again, Peterson continues. He says, the Christian faith has always been characterized by a strong and a focused sense of future with belief in the second coming of Jesus as the most distinctive detail of our beliefs. And so I love this. This is where the heavenly hope really begins to come in, because we as Christians have not only a hope for this life in this world, on this planet, but we have a hope for the future because we know that Jesus is coming back for those of us that know him, that have received forgiveness for our sins, and we have done our best to live for him and to serve him. That's our hope, the blessed hope of the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peterson continues. He says, from the day that Jesus ascended into heaven, his followers lived in expectancy of his return. Every generation of believers, of Christians, of Christ followers, has believed in this soon return of Christ. Jesus told them he was coming back. They believed he was coming back. You and I believe it today, and we continue to believe it. for Christians, it's the most important thing to know and believe about the future. For us as Christ followers, the greatest thought, the greatest hope for the future is that Jesus is going to come back for us one day. And Peterson concludes with this: the practical effect of this belief of the second coming of Christ is to charge each moment of the present with hope. Because we have this great hope of Christ coming back, it charges our present circumstances, no matter what they might be, with hope for the future that God has for us. Now, I want to share with you a great portion of Scripture, this time from the New Testament, and we're going to go all the way back to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4. Turn with me, 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4, and we're going to begin with verse number 13. I'm using the NIV version of Scripture, and the subtitle there is simply this: The Coming of the Lord. Again, what we're talking about, this heavenly hope of the soon return of Christ. Let's pick up at verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And Paul writes this. He says, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, those who pass away, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope." You know what, guys? If you don't have Christ in your life right now, then you really don't have a reason to hope. You don't have a reason for hope to even be in your heart or in your mind. But because we know that Christ loves us and he's forgiven us and we believe firmly that he is coming back for us, then we don't have to grieve like the rest of folks that don't know Christ and therefore they have no hope for an eternal future. They may have some hope, a glimmer of hope for this life, but they don't have the hope of eternal life with Christ in heaven. Paul continues in verse 14. "We believe, those of us that know Christ, we believe that Jesus died and that he rose again." In a couple of weeks, we're going to be celebrating that for Easter Sunday. Now, I don't know if we're going to be able to meet together by that time or not as a church family in this church building, in these pews, but whether or not we can, Easter is still coming. We're still going to celebrate Resurrection Sunday. And so Paul says, "We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." In other words, those who have passed away knowing Christ as their Savior. Verse 15, "According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, the second coming, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, he's going to come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first." Those who have died as believers in Christ, when Jesus returns at what we call the rapture of the church, that's what this portion of Scripture is all about, we believe that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. When that trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ will go up to meet the Lord in the air. Verse 17, it says, "After that," after the dead in Christ rise, "we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever." What a great thought. What a hopeful and encouraging thought. And in fact, that's how Paul closes this chapter. He says, "Therefore, because of all this that we've just read about and spoken about, therefore encourage each other with these words." Guys, again, if there was ever a time that we not only need hope, but that we also need encouragement, now is that time. So I want to encourage those of you that know Christ as your Savior to let your words be an encouragement to the people around you, both those that know Christ and maybe those that don't know Jesus yet as their Savior. Let's speak encouraging words, words of hope, words of encouragement, words of healing to our family, to our friends, to our loved ones, to our neighbors, to those we work with, to those we may go to school with. Let's share that love of Christ. Let's share the story of the good news of the gospel, salvation through Christ, and also this great heavenly hope that we have, that one day we have a hope that is beyond this life, and that's the hope of a home in heaven. That is truly a heavenly hope this morning. Also, one of my devotions, it's entitled Daily Devotions for Men, ask the question, are you a hopeful, optimistic, encouraging believer? Are we that in the world around us? And do you associate with like-minded people? Are we gathering together? Are we like-minded in this belief in a heavenly hope, this belief in a home in heaven? Do we associate with people like that? He continues, hope, like other human emotions, is contagious. Hope is contagious. Laughter is contagious. A positive attitude is contagious. These are things that we want to emulate from others and want others to emulate from us. And so when we associate with hope-filled Christians, we are encouraged by their faith and their optimism. But if we spend too much time in the company of naysayers and pessimists, well, our attitudes like theirs begin to be cynical and very negative. And no one wants to be around that type of attitude, always complaining, always grumbling or griping, always being a pessimist, a naysayer. We don't want to be that, and we don't want to spend our time around folks with attitudes like that, right? And so then he closes with this, as a faithful follower of the one from Galilee, Jesus himself, you have every reason to be hopeful. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you've got every reason to be filled with hope because he is the God of hope. And you have every reason to share your hope with others. We can do that on a daily basis, whether it's a phone call, a text, an email, maybe a face-to-face meeting, if that's available to you right now with these restrictions we're living under. But we can share that hope with people around us. Colossians 1:27 puts it this way. I love it. It says, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Those of us that know Jesus as Savior, he lives within us. The Holy Spirit came to dwell within us when we receive Christ as our Savior. And so that is our hope of glory. Jesus himself, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then Psalm 42:11 tells us this, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Oh, that's a great scripture. Hope thou in God. Where's your hope this morning? Who are you putting your hope, your faith, your trust, your confidence in? Where are you placing those emotions? If it's not in God, if it's not in his son Jesus, if it's not the Holy Spirit that lives within us, then you're putting your hope in the wrong place. Because he says, I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. God wants to be our health. He wants to be not only our spiritual health, not only our physical health, but God wants to be our mental and our emotional health as well through this crisis that we're living in today. Ed Russo says this. He says, I'm reminded of what David wrote in Psalm 131, verse 3, and it's this, wait, Israel, for God. Wait with hope. Hope now. Hope always. Guys, don't ever give up on hope. Don't ever quit dreaming. Don't ever quit looking to the future, hoping for a better tomorrow. That's what God wants us to do. That's how he wants us to live. In the midst of this, whether we're going through good times or bad times and any type of time in between, we are to put our hope in Christ. And knowing that we have not only a hope in this life, but a hope for a home in heaven, that heavenly hope. And then Russo continues. He says, this promise that we just talked about gives me an irresistible confidence, a blessed assurance, a shot in the arm of faith-filled hope. I like that. God wants to give us a faith-filled hope. Faith is the evidence of things that we can't even see, that we can't even see. That's what faith is about, putting your faith and your hope in the Lord in that way. Even though it hasn't arrived yet, we're trusting God to come through for us. We're trusting God to hear and to answer our prayers. And then he says, this hope is unlike any other hope. It's authentic, it's permanent, it's eternal. It is a hope that extends to our families, to our churches, and all the days that are yet ahead of us. Because the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for calamity or disaster, but to give you a future and a hope. Plans to bless you and prosper you. That's what God wants for us. We have this hope, a hope-filled future because of Christ. Hebrews 10:23 says this, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Guys, our God is faithful. He said, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, but I'll be with you always, even to the end of the ages. And so I believe this morning that God has such a bright future for us. I believe that God is going to turn this thing that the enemy meant for bad, God's going to turn it around for good. For we know that all things work together for good for those of us that love God and that are called according to his purpose. I believe you love God this morning or you wouldn't be listening to this. I believe that God has a call on your life and that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And so I just encourage you today to just be filled with this heavenly hope. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. God, we're so thankful that in the midst of this uncertainty, in the midst of things that we don't understand and we definitely don't like, things that are making us uncomfortable, maybe stressed, maybe fearful, maybe worried, all these different emotions that we are up and down with in a day's time. Lord, begin to stabilize each one of us. Begin to calm and relax every muscle and every nerve in our bodies. Lord, not only our bodies, but may our minds also be at peace and at rest. And so, Father, move in a powerful way in all of the folks that are listening this morning. You know right where each one of us are. You know exactly what we need, and you know when we need it. You've promised not to give us anything greater than we can handle, but you would make a way of escape so that we can stand up under it, so that we can endure it and come forth victorious over it and through it. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're a God that is near. You're not so far away that you can't touch us. You hear our voices. You hear our prayers. And Lord, I thank you that your arm is not too short to reach out and touch us. Oh God, your eyes are very keen and you see everything that is going on in our lives. And so, Father, today we just cast all of our care upon you because we know that you care for us. We thank you for your faithfulness. You are the faithful God. You're the mighty God. Oh, Father, you're the everlasting Father. You're the wonderful counselor. You're our Prince of Peace. And so, Father, may that peace rule and reign in each and every one of our hearts. And, Father, we'll give you praise for all of this, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad that you tuned in today to view this. I pray it's been a blessing to you, and I just want to encourage you. You know, I know we miss being with each other, gathering together as the family of God, as the body of Christ here. And I know the same is true for churches all across our nation and around the world, that even though we can't meet together yet, physically in the same place or building, Lord, we just are so grateful. We're so grateful that we can reach out in other ways. Let's stay connected, New Life family and others, whether by phone or email or text, FaceTime, whatever means you can do. And if you can get together as family, just stay safe. Just continue to hold one another up in prayer. And we're going to get through this together. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? And so let's just enjoy the Lord, let's enjoy one another, and let's let his peace rule and reign in our hearts and our minds. God bless you guys. We love you. Take care.